For the last 3 weeks, since Easter, we've been talking about the things that keep the stones in front of our tombs tightly in place. Nathan, the first week, talked about grief and loss. The second week, Darren talked about unresolved anger. And the third week, Nathan preached about shame and guilt. All of those things keep us entombed. This week, I get to talk about forgiveness, the power that can roll away the stone. Now, forgiveness is not a new idea. Throughout our lives, parents, teachers, religious leaders have urged us to forgive and forget. Let bygones be bygones. Turn the other cheek. Kiss and make up. I like that one best. They say to err is human, to forgive is divine. We were told time and time again, until we were left with little doubt that forgiveness was a virtue, the good, the honorable, and the moral thing to do. Yet for many people, there is something really disturbing about forgiving the people, the real people who caused us real pain. There's a huge stone between us and them, and we, quite frankly, don't want to roll it away because we feel justified in continuing to be angry and hurt. The problem with that is we're not punishing them or paying them back for anything. We're punishing ourselves. Now, we humans tend to hang on to the emotional, mental, spiritual, physical hurts and pains inflicted on us. We carry them with us throughout our lives, dragging our heavy bag everywhere we go. The longer we live and the more times others hurt us, the heavier the bag of pain gets, until one day we can't carry it anymore and it brings us to our knees. Something has to give. And we find ourselves sitting in a worship service with a lunatic talking about forgiveness. Forgive those who hurt me? Is this lunatic for real? Yep, I am for real, and I know exactly how you're feeling today. It is something that's shared by all of humanity. No one is exempt. I've felt that way most of my life. I never wanted to forgive those who hurt me. I did not want to let go of my bitterness, my anger, my resentment, and my pain. What I wasn't aware of was that by carrying all of those things with me, they had negative consequences on my mental, physical, and spiritual life, and relational life. Now, it took me 60 plus years to figure this out. Apparently, I'm a slow learner. What I am hoping for, though, is that those who have not been aware of the emotional baggage they carry, that through what I have to say today, you will begin to acknowledge that you do have it and start taking baby steps toward healing yourself through forgiveness. As an example, I make myself vulnerable and offer up to you a part of my life. I believe that it's in the telling of our stories where we find truth and we learn lessons. I was adopted when I was 5 days old. My mother wore the pants in the family, and what she said was the law of the land. As a consequence, I spent my childhood mostly in my room, never having a voice. If I dared to disagree with her or I said something she didn't like, I'd get slapped and sent to my room. I grew up with messages like, "Big girls don't cry. Children are to be seen and not heard. You will never amount to anything. And you have to be the best girl you can be, but not better than your brother." My brother was also adopted. He was 17 months older than me. He was extremely shy. He was a klutz with two left feet and absolutely had no propensity or talent for athletics or academics. I, on the other hand, was just the opposite. I loved being outdoors and climbing trees, riding my bike, and terrorizing the chickens. You can imagine the trouble I got in. I did have some talent athletically and academically, and it was very difficult not to be better than my brother or show him up. As you can imagine, it was a very confusing message, and one I failed at regularly. As a consequence, I was punished and sent to my room. Now, those aren't the worst things in the world, but to an adopted child with abandonment issues inborn in my very nature, along with the veiled threat of sending me back to my birth mother hanging over my head, they colored and shaped everything I did and said. My mother doted on my brother, and I knew all of my life who was the favored child. That favored child became an alcoholic when he was in high school and had the first of his many encounters with law enforcement. That favored child has been and is sitting in a prison cell in Eastern Oregon correctional institution as we speak. Have some bitterness? Probably. When I was a teenager, I was raped. I didn't know my attacker, and I couldn't tell my mother because she would have blamed me. She went to her grave, never knowing. At the ripe old age of 14, I lived alone with the trauma of the event and with the fear of pregnancy for weeks before I was sure I was safe. I never told anyone until about 3 years ago. It came out in therapy. I was 62 years old. These things and a whole lot more were the cause of so many hurts and difficulties all my life. Do you think that maybe I had a lifetime of forgiveness to attend to? Yeah. And that forgiveness included forgiving myself, because it finally dawned on me that I was more like my mother than I would ever want to be, and I did not like that person. As a matter of fact, I was horrified. Luckily, I had a really good therapist, and that, my friends, was a gift from God. It was a requirement of my master's program to be in therapy weekly, because if I was going to be a therapist, I needed to know firsthand how to be one. Imagine that. What I discovered in those first few months of school and therapy was the beginning of finding my real self underneath the emotional baggage I carried around with me. My therapist slowly but surely helped me become aware of my mother's early shaping and how it played out in my real life with my real people. These were important things to learn about myself, but it was not enough. I knew there had to be another step that I needed to take to really unload that baggage and roll away the stones that kept me stuck in the past, but did not really know what that step was. Between God and my therapist, I stumbled upon the concept of forgiveness. Now, I'd always known about it, but not intentionally applied it to my life. Certainly, Jesus was the ultimate role model for forgiveness, but I never felt worthy enough to be forgiven, let alone forgive others. But God kept bugging me, as God often does, and I began researching forgiveness from a therapeutic and spiritual standpoint. It ultimately culminated in a forgiveness group that I and a friend put together and facilitated. I figured if I needed to learn forgiveness, that there were probably other people in the church that did too. So we formed a hand-picked pilot group. The group had 6 people, and we met weekly for almost a year. It was a successful endeavor, and we all learned very useful tools for forgiveness. There was some resistance in the group about forgiving, and there were others who actually were able to forgive and found freedom. Others were just not ready to forgive. So we really can have all the tools in the world, but until we are ready to forgive, it's not going to happen. My mother died before I had the chance to say the words, "I forgive you," to her, even though saying them out loud was definitely not necessary. She would have not understood anyway why I needed to forgive her. But in reality, it wasn't for her, it was for me. I needed to be free of the continual influence she had on my life. Now, little commercial here. If you're interested in hearing more about my life, stay tuned. I'm in the process of writing a book about this very wounded child and how I began that healing process. Writing the book is part of my own healing process, and I can only pray it will help others with similar stories to know that as long as they have breath, healing is possible. For now, I'm working on lessening my baggage. I cannot say that my bag is empty yet, but it might be down to a manageable level. Might. There are still people hanging out in that bag that I haven't forgiven. But forgiveness, like most things in our life, is a choice and takes whatever time it takes. What I've realized in my own life is the stones in our lives imprison us in tombs that only serve to rot and decay our bodies, minds, and spirits. Forgiveness can move the stones away from our tombs, and healing, what I call resurrection, will happen. Now, some of you may be thinking that you just cannot forgive yourself or someone else because of the harm perhaps you've done or someone else has done to you. I say it is possible to forgive. And to illustrate that possibility, I would like to tell a story. It's short. One of the books I used as a resource is The Book of Forgiving, The Fourfold Path for Healing Ourselves and Our World. It was written by Bishop Desmond Tutu and his daughter, Reverend Fo Tutu. They relate the following story. "He had many wounds," she spoke with the precision of a coroner. "In the upper abdomen were 5 wounds. These wounds indicated that different weapons were used to stab him, or a group of people stabbed him." Mrs. Milwali continued her harrowing testimony to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. She spoke about the disappearance and murder of her husband, Cicelo. "In the lower part, he also had wounds. In total, there were 43. They poured acid on his face. They chopped off his right hand just below the wrist. I don't know what they did with that hand." A wave of horror and nausea rose in me, and that's Tutu talking. Now, it was 19-year-old Babala's turn to speak. She was 8 when her father died. Her brother was only 3. She described the grief, police harassment, and hardship in the years since her father's death. And then she said, "I would love to know who killed my father. So would my brother. Her next words stunned me and left me breathless. We want to forgive them. We want to forgive, but we don't know who to forgive. Later in the story, it's not even a story, it's truth. They also tell how the people of South Africa were able to forgive the atrocities and injustices that they suffered under apartheid. After years of bloodshed, torture, racism, inequality, and oppression, this country came together and chose forgiveness rather than revenge. How could a whole country choose to forgive their oppressors? They knew that the only way out of their tomb was to forgive and begin the healing process. If they had not, that country would be a bloodbath, embroiled in a civil war that would only lead to destruction, more hate, more anger, and more lost lives. Mahatma Gandhi once said, "If we practice the law of an eye for an eye, we will all end up blind." Let me say that again. If we practice the law of an eye for an eye, we will all end up blind. Forgiveness is hard work, and sometimes it even feels like an impossible task. But it is the only way we can roll away the stones that are in our lives, the stones that and the baggage that weigh us down, the stones and baggage that inform our presence, present in our future. Another book I used is Forgiveness, How to Make Peace with Your Past and Get On with Your Life by Dr. Sydney Simon and Suzanne Simon. It gives excellent information about what forgiveness is and isn't. Both Dr. Simon and Bishop Tutu say that forgiveness is not forgetting. By forgiving the people who hurt us, we do not erase those painful memories. We cannot forget, nor should we. Those experiences and the pain they caused have a lot to teach us. He says forgiveness is not condoning. By forgiving those who hurt us, we're not saying that what was done to us was acceptable, unimportant, or not so bad. It was bad. It did hurt. And it made a difference in our lives. Forgiveness is not absolution. We do not let those who hurt us off the hook. We do not absolve them of all responsibility for their actions. Forgiveness is a byproduct of ongoing healing, a byproduct of an ongoing healing process. We cannot truly forgive until we have dealt with the emotional baggage that goes with the territory, healing the wounds others inflicted on us. Forgiveness is a gift at the end of the healing process. Forgiveness releases us from building our identity around something that happened to us in the past. It helps us to let go of those intense emotions attached to incidents from our past. And we'll always remember what happened. But when we forgive, we no longer feel intensely angry or frightened, bitter, resentful, or damaged because of it. It would no longer determine what will happen to us in the future. Forgiveness is no longer wanting to punish the people who hurt us. We can never even the score. And forgiveness gives us the gift of inner peace because we stop trying to get even or have them suffer like we did. The fact is, they may not even be aware of our misery. And while we're turning ourselves inside out, they don't feel a thing. Nothing we do to punish them will heal us. Forgiveness is freeing up and putting to better use the energy once consumed by grudges, harboring resentments, and nursing unhealed wounds. It's breaking the cycle of pain and abuse. Ceasing to create new victims by hurting others as we ourselves were hurt. In other words, forgiveness is not revenge. Forgiveness is freedom. It's the power to roll away the stones of our pain and anger. And forgiveness is something that we do for ourselves, not for anybody else. We forgive so we can finally get rid of that emotional baggage. Inner peace is found by changing ourselves, not the people who hurt us. And we change ourselves for ourselves, for the joy, serenity, and peace that's waiting for us to arrive and claim. It will not be easy. It requires long, hard work to heal our wounds and make peace with our past. There are no shortcuts, no ways around the fact that forgiveness is possible if and only if we commit ourselves to that ongoing healing process. Desmond Tutu says two simple truths. There is nothing that cannot be forgiven, and there is no one undeserving of forgiveness. When you can see and understand that, we are all bound to one another, whether by birth, by circumstance, or simply by our shared humanity, then you will know this to be true. He goes on to say, I have often said that in South Africa, there would have been no future without forgiveness. Our rage and our quest for revenge would have been our destruction. This is as true for us individually as it is for us globally. The scripture from Colossians read this morning makes it quite clear what God is trying to tell us, asking us to do. And there are many other passages where Jesus instructs us to forgive. But one in particular I want to focus on for just a moment. It's the story of the prodigal son. If you were here last week, you know that Nathan talked about this story as an example of redemption and restoration. And most certainly it is. But it's also a prime example of forgiveness. The father had to forgive his son in order to welcome him back home. We can see in that story that the father released the son from all of his sins and welcomed him home with open arms. He was filled with joy and threw a big celebration for him. Because he forgave his son, the father's stones of pain and sadness were rolled away and replaced with relief, joy, and happiness. Now, the prodigal son's brother, on the other hand, was bitter and resentful. In the story, he could not forgive his brother and carried his emotional baggage everywhere he went. He was miserable and angry and not about to let go. We will never know if he ever forgave his brother, but we do know that if he didn't, he suffered consequences that damaged his life. Jesus wants us to make forgiveness a spiritual practice because we all make mistakes and hurt ourselves and others at times, and there will always be something necessary to forgive. It is a lifetime practice, one that we're called to do by the one who forgives us continually. Of course, the ultimate example of forgiveness is found in Luke, just before Jesus died on the cross. He cried out to God, "Forgive those people, they don't know what they're doing." Jesus set that example for how to roll away the stones in our lives, and we are to follow him onto that path that leads us to peace, release, freedom, and resurrection. Forgiveness is the power behind the stones that entomb us and keep us bitter, and angry. If resurrection is what you want, forgiveness is the answer. Now, I'm interrupting this program for another commercial. Don't you just hate all those commercials on TV? I'll make this short and sweet. Beginning in June, a forgiveness group will be forming. A sign-up sheet will be in the fireside room starting next week. We'll be using Bishop Tutu's book as our study guide. So if you have an idea that you might want to join the group, I suggest you get your book early and start looking at it. The group starts on June 7th. For those of you who don't have any interest in the group, I would encourage you to get the book anyway. It is filled with awesomeness about forgiveness and the power that forgiveness has to change our lives. Another little commercial here. Amazon Smile is a part of Amazon.com, and you can get this book at Amazon Smile. Amazon Smile is unique in that if you go there and you register MCC Portland as your charity, every time you buy something through Amazon Smile, we get some kind of donation from them. So, good deal. Helps the church, helps you with all the things you buy. End of commercial. To end, I would like us in unison to say the prayer that will soon be up on the screen. There it is. In unison, please. Holy God, give us hearts that are ready to be healed and the willingness to let go of our anger and pain so that we can be released from our tombs. Help us to be careful with our words and our actions, realizing that in our humanity, we sometimes hurt others. Teach us how to ask for forgiveness as well as give it. Give us the courage to not let the pain of our past determine our future. You are the ultimate testament to the power of forgiveness. Resurrect us, God, as you resurrected your Son, Jesus. Teach us to forgive like you forgive us. Amen. My personal prayer for each of you is that you will allow the power of forgiveness to roll away the stones that entomb you. Amen.